Thank you for being here this morning on this Mother's Day. If you would, please turn with me to Isaiah chapter 63. Isaiah chapter 63. My message come back and been in Hammerts a few weeks ago, believe it or not. And I seen a sign, I heard it announced over the PA system, wow. Anybody heard that? How many go to Hammerts once in a while? You don't know where it's at? Well, that's all right. It's a good place to go if you want to buy cheap clothes. Hamrick? Hamrick. Oh, did I say it wrong? Well, I gave it a good Johnson County name. Amen. The new dialect. Hamrick. And wow. And it impressed me. They kept saying, wow, on such place, this sudden things are happening. So I got home and I looked it up. And wow means remember, successful, exciting, a great success, would arouse enthusiasm and pleasure. When I began to think about Mother's Day, I found where God said this in Isaiah chapter 66. And as we look at it on Mother's Day, let's see, and you'll see what I'm talking about. In the first few verses, you find God is talking about blessing and continuing reviving the kingdom. He talks about in verse 20, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, there is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? Really and truly, I'm glad God made a house in the Old Testament, but did you know if you're saved, you're the temple today. He lives in our heart. Verse 2 said, for all those things he both hath my hand made, and all those things have been said to the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor. Now, some people think that's talking about poor in wealth. No, he's not. The word poor here means more than just. It means humble. It means lowly. It means needed. That person who knows is humble, know he needs him, that walks humbly before God. Notice he said, and it has and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Contrite means sorrowful or done wrong spirit. Recognize before God, you and I are not as holy as we'd like to be. One day we'll be as holy as God can make us, though, in a glorified body. But even now, you're born again, child of God, you're not as holy as you'd like to be. Because none of us have really contributed to the fact to be like God, completely holy. But we have the Holy Spirit living in us, and he is working a work of grace in our hearts and life till he gets us home. But he talks about this is what he likes. So when he gets telling about what he's going to do for Israel, look in verse 12 with me. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a tree. And he's talking about Jerusalem here as he talks about that. In verse 13, we find the text of my verse, or the text for the message. As one, and talks about God, what he's going to do, the glory of the Gentiles. Look in verse 12 again. Join the Gentiles like a flowing stream, and then shall ye suck, and ye shall be born upon her sides, and be dandled upon her knees. And then notice, and one as one. Here's how God compares himself. As one whose mother comforters, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Isn't that amazing? After laying all that, he said, just sum this up, Israel. As one, as a mother comforts you, so I'm going to comfort you. And when you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb, and the hand of the Lord shall be known unto his servant, and his indignation towards his enemies. That is, God's going to show those this love towards his servant as a mother does to a child. But to the indignation, he talks about righteous indignation. That is, when he deals with that, he's going to deal in righteousness, and his court will be settled. No one else can take it to another court. Now I want to talk to you, wow, mother's love, and talk about God's love. Father in heaven, we thank you again for this day. Bless your holy word to our heart, and help us when we leave this place. Say, but good to be in the house of God. Draw us closer to you than we were when we came. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, when you talk about this thing of a mother's love, you know, God said kind of a three phase in verse 12, one, as one whom his mother comforted, so will God comfort you, and ye shall be comforted, he said, in Jerusalem. What God is simply saying there, and just to short that up, as a mother comforts her son, so will I comfort you. Now, when you talk about God, we have an age today that man is making God what he wants him to be. Some people say God is a it. No, he's not. He's a force, but he is a being. It's not just a force. Some of them say, well, in our day, God is a she. I'm sorry, but God is a he. He's in a masculine. Now, why is that? Because he said, well, wait a minute, God said he has a mother, and he wouldn't know how to do as a mother unless it would be a she. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand, God presents himself in a way that we might understand a little about him. God is not a type of force. He's referred to as God the Father in the Bible in a number of places. And if you look up at God the Father, you find a father, Webster Dictionary says, defines a father as a male parent that creates or founds a line of descendants for natural birth. You do not find God talking about godliness in his realm. You do find God talking about godliness in false gods. Because in false gods, you have God false, you have godliness, which is false. And he talks about a divine of a woman, he talks about godliness. But when you talk about this, a goddess is a female god referred to as a deity of the female sex. And so we live in a generation, though, that where you see these words are being used more in past, where it had to do, they had to do with a false god, in turn, they have put it to God himself. And so when you got somebody who don't really understand who God is, they're trying to give him all kinds of names because of certain things have been said, like, again, I say that if God can show himself as a mother's love, he's got to have some characteristics about what a mother is. Wait a minute. You got to go back. Who created male and female? As you look in Genesis chapter 1, God created male and female, and in that creation, he brought about what is in his image. So he allowed the male and the female to be who they were so they could produce a procreation, an offspring, which is like in the image of God. And so when you look at this, God gave them their characteristics. Therefore, he understands who they are because he gave it to them. He put it in the DNA. He put it in the way that they were brought before him. So God made male and female in his likeness. He calls it in his image in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So when he talks about this here, being that he is going to remember them or he is going to comfort them as a mother comforts her child, I'm glad I see that definition of God. Because he said to you and I, he understands us like a mother would her child. By the way, he understands us like a dad would, a father would his child too. He has both sides of these. And when he talks about comfort, he said, that's a comfort here he's talking about that a dad cannot do. So it's a different type of comfort. And as we go through this, you'll see what I'm talking about this morning. You know, mothers are real wise. I heard a story, and I don't know if it's true or not, but I heard a story that a young girl in a home raised up in a Christian home, and she got to be 18 years old. She began to think, when she left home, I'm going to do what I want to please. So she left home, and she took up smoking. And it just broke her mother's heart. And her mother was talking to her one day, and she tried to get a quit. She said, I'm on my own. I do what I want to now. You can't tell me what to do. I'm the right age. I'll do what I want to now. And so one day she came home, and she noticed her mother noticed she hadn't smoked anything while she was there. Sometimes she'd do it just to get back. And her mother said, I heard no, she hadn't smoked any cigarettes this day. I just wondered by chance, have you kicked the habit? And she said, no, mother. She said, I have a cold and I cannot smoke when I have a cold because I feel bad. And mother said in wisdom, well, in that case, I guess that you might live a lot longer if you got sick more. I think it's a good answer, don't you? On the other hand, I also look at here that when God talked about this thing of comforting us, God said he's likened his care over us to the role of a mother. What does this mean that he likens his care? You say, wait a minute, he's talking about Israel. But wait, don't you know if he said that about Israel, who is part of the nation of Israel as a nation, you think about what he says to you and I who are not just part of Christianity. We're God's children. We've been born into the family of God. We are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He would not say that about Israel without saying that about us. If he'd do that for Israel, he'd do that for you and I. And Jew and Gentile alike in the age of grace who've been birthed into the family of God, that God calls us his children and that he's our father. So he wouldn't say something to Israel, he wouldn't say to you and I. So let's look at it. So I looked at three mothers. And I picked up out of the scriptures three mothers in the Bible that perhaps we can understand a little more about what God says and when he loves us, but being a mother to us. And looking at these three mothers, give me three characteristics about how God is saying he looks after his children. And the first one I think we see found is Exodus chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. When you go and read the story for sake of time, we have Jochebed. Jochebed is Moses' mother. Miriam is about 12 years old at this time when Moses was born. Aaron's about 1 year old. And after Pharaoh heard that Israel's deliverer was about to be born, Pharaoh was very concerned about anybody taking their throne. They'd kill somebody in a minute when they heard somebody might take their throne. And so he heard that Israel was going to be born, deliverer was going to be born. And he determined that he would remove every newborn baby child by drowning them in the river. In turn, that they might kill this one, if there is such a one to be born as king, that he would destroy him. And can you imagine what went in the heart of this young lady's Jochebed's heart and what she thought? She was a slave in a slave town, in a slave city, expecting a child, which could be killed by King Pharaoh, who knew not Joseph, the Bible tells us, in Exodus chapter 1, verse 18. In Exodus 2:2, it states that she, Jochebed, hid him for 3 months. Oh, I wonder why. And after that, she knew that he was getting to the place, and, you know, babies cry out. Don't you know babies cry out? I mean, they can cry out. It amazes me. I guess you get older. But I didn't used to care much about how babies squeal. But I believe babies that are born now, 3 or 4 months or 6 years old, can cry out louder than they used to. Because I'm telling you what, so we had one the other night, one was crying out, and I couldn't hardly, I tried to eat, and I was doing that when I was eating. But I'm telling you, babies cry out. Now think about one particular mother. It said that a mother was in a shopping center, and she had a baby about 3 or 4 months old. And she was pushing around, all of a sudden he got crying. So, you know, you do everything you can. You can't keep a child from crying. And started crying, just kept crying. And mother checked, and nothing's wrong. And she'd give a pacifier and give a body, whatever give. Then the baby would just keep crying out. And she finally said, I'm going to have to leave this store. And she started out the door. And someone said she heard her say, and she went out the door. She said, that's all right, honey. Go ahead, cry all you want to. Sugar, just cry all you want to. You got to keep in mind, you and I stuck together for the next 18 years. Well, I'm sure Jochebed knew for a fact that that Moses was going to be heard, don't you? And she began to think, what can I do? And so God gave her this ingenuity of what to do in the sense of making a little basket for him. And so the story goes on that she defies her understanding and began to be afraid, and that Moses cried out and he'd be heard. And so she waved a basket and she took it and made it out of slime and placed it in the cradle of the river. And she asked, as she weaved it from things from the side of the river, she put it in a place she knew the prince was going to be coming down, the princess would be coming down. And sure enough, when she heard the cry, God dug right to her heart. And she went, and I guarantee you, he was the prettiest boy she'd ever seen. And the cry touched her heart. And now she defiles the Pharaoh and says, I want to take this child and raise him in my own home. The little Hebrew boy. Sure, he can't be a danger anytime. And of course, being the daughter, of course, Pharaoh let it go. Well, isn't it amazing? Miriam had to be watching. And she saw him pick the little baby up. Maybe she started back towards, like she's going back to the palace. And she runs up to her and says, listen, I just wonder by chance, would you like to have a Hebrew mother who can nurse this little baby? What? Yeah, well, there's a Hebrew mother who'll have a child, and she can nurse this little baby. Would you like to have a mother to nurse this little baby? And of course she said, well, yes, I'm going to have someone. She couldn't do it. Isn't God wonderful? And so you see her taking him into her arms and having given Jochebed the privilege to nurse her own child and see him grow up under the Egyptian reign. So Moses grew up to become the prince of Egypt, who would later deliver Israel from Egyptian bondage. But he didn't know that at the time, and neither did Jochebed. And so I want you to notice Jochebed's her attitude. She had a preserving, attentive, never give up care. She had for her son and of the other children too, I'm sure. I mean, Moses is what seems like a helpless situation. And in that helpless situation, she has an idea, and God blesses the idea. Maybe you've been here sometime in your life in a situation that seemed like the odds were almost against you. You were helpless, and the door would open up suddenly for you to go through. Sometimes when you're in a situation, the door opens up, you're afraid to go through. But you go through that door. May I remind you today that you have a God who comforts us as a mother comforts, because he said he would. He knows what breaks a mother's heart. He knows what happens to a mother's heart. And he's able to supply that need, but he won't do it like you think he will. And when he supplies that need, you find he has promised to comfort you and to, you have to trust him. So if God does this for Israel, you know that he's going to do for a child of his. If you're here today and you're saved, keep in mind that nothing passed your way that he doesn't bless you with. And ladies and gentlemen, you see in the home, if you look at the characteristics of a God in the home, there will be a mother in that home that serves God and loves God. And therefore, God will manifest his love like we see through a mother's love. That's one type of a mother. And then I go to John chapter 19, and I see that here's another mother, Mary, the mother of Jesus. This is a blessed thing to look at. Because in verse 25, it says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. She's mentioned first of who's standing at the foot of the cross. Even though we know that he goes on and says, there's his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. And of course, we know John was there. And I won't get into the rest of that conversation. But while others fled, including most of the disciples, Mary was the first one to be at the foot of the cross. She had something in her heart. She'd seen her son beaten, mocked, ridiculed, dragged, watched the nails driven to his hands and his feet, watched the crown of thorns pressed on his head, ladies and gentlemen. But she did not faint. She did not falter. She didn't even understand what was going on. But she knew that was her son. And she knew that God had given her that son 33 and a half years before that day when Angel Gabriel went to her and told her she was going to have a child. Jesus leaves her home about 30 years old. Now, 3.5 years later, he's been on a mission. A couple of times she's seen him and talked some things about him at this time. Joseph seemingly must have died there before this event took place. One time, Jesus' mother in Matthew 12, 47, 50, was concerned about what she'd heard about her son, so she took his other half-brothers and went to confront him in Matthew 12, verse 47 through 50. She was concerned. And when she went, she couldn't get to him to start with. And someone went to Jesus and said, thy mother and thy brothers out there waiting for you. They want to talk to you. And then suddenly, Jesus made this statement. He answered, who is my mother? What a shock. Someone said, well, it sounded to me like he didn't care much about his mother. You got to keep in mind, Jesus now has left the place of being raised as a son because he's the Son of God. You got to keep in mind, he wants people to know he's not there just to be known as the son of Mary or the son of Joseph. He is the Son of God. And so he keeps going. She keeps going. Who is my mother? And then he turns to his disciples and says, these are my mother and my brother, Matthew chapter 12, verse 49. Simeon told Mary when she took him to the temple, yea, a sword, and I quote, yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul. Also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Luke 2, verse 34 and 35. Mary didn't understand this. She pondered these things in her heart. Many times she was confused of what's going on, but she knew God was in it. But she stood still by the cross. And when I look at Mary at the side where I saw Jochebed, how she was about her son, I see Mary at the enduring, steadfast, unremitted love of Jesus' mother. What a blessing that God tells us that he loves us like a mother and will comfort us like a mother. Can you not see that characteristics? A little bit in mothers compared to the dad. Then I see the third one. And I look at this and there's one that's not like. You say, wait a minute, Mary, you know, she was Jesus' mother. And you take Jochebed also was in God's plan and so forth. Well, all these mothers in God's plan just a different way. You say, well, that's a different way. They both were in the religious realm, and Jesus Christ being the Son of God, wonderful thing that Mary had the privilege to bear him. Well, let me give you another one that's not in that category, maybe, more like you might think mothers of our day would be. And you turn and you find there's a lady by the name of Rippa. She's the mother of the two sons of Saul. In 2 Samuel chapter 21, she's not even Saul's wife. She's his concubine. And what an amazing thing, Saul was Israel, the first king of the Old Testament when it comes to the nation of Israel. And here, he has his concubine. Saul failed to remember a vow that he'd made about not fighting against the Gibeonites. And Saul, in God's name, made this vow to not destroy the Gibeonites. They were remnants of the Amorites. And yet, when everything was over, he broke the vow that led to 3 years' famine in the land. in turn and destroyed the Gibeonites. And when the battle was over, David became king. And David became a king of Israel. He began to hear what had happened by Saul, and he made an atonement for Saul's action that the Gibeonites asked for. He said, "What would you like for me to do for you?" And of course, the Gibeonites said that they'd like the Saul's loved ones to die, who in 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 3 through 6. And so David agreed the Gibeonites hung Saul's sons on the first day, he says, in the beginning of the barley harvest in verse 9. Now, what's so sick about that? David has said, "I want to atone for what Saul did. What would you like to do?" And they wanted Saul's son destroyed. He had 7. He wanted them destroyed because of what he did to the Gibeonites. And of course, we find the story goes on that it started at the beginning of the barley harvest, verse 9. And it was Rippah who went there at the gravesite where they hung him up on that hill and then spread sackcloth on the ground, which is a sign of mourning. And she stayed there on that hill night and day, ladies and gentlemen, fighting the birds off and the animals off day and night from barley harvest until the coming of the rain in verse 10. And scholars say that that time could be from 5 to 7 long months. April would be the time of the barley harvest. And the rains could come anywhere after August. So you know, April, May, June, July, August, September, impossible October, she could have been there, and she would not leave there because she was the mother of those sons, and she loved them so much, she deemed time of death, tried the best to keep the animals and the birds away from them. And some of the scholars said that she even died. She gave her life for her sons. What is the difference about that? Well, here's a case where David heard about this, and he gave the 7 sons of Saul an honorable burial after this happened. Others had shunned her sons. Others had treated them without disgrace. But she clung to them with great compassion and would not let them go from her heart, even unto death, if it needed that. That doesn't mean that she would agree they did wrong. That doesn't mean that she would give in if they give wrong. But what you see here is a love of a mother and 3 mothers when God talked about he would be a mother to his children under these circumstances we go through in life. And so I see God said, as a mother comforteth her sons, I promise to comfort you. God promised to be like a mother. Now, there's got to be some reason for that. To his children, Isaiah 16, 13. A mother who can comfort in ways that a dad could never comfort. Dad has a stronger hand than a mother. And I think back, and you heard me tell my story. I remember when I had the whooping cough. And as I read this again, I remember, I see characteristics why it would be that way. When I had the whooping cough, I was 5, 6 years old. And I'd get feeling pretty good and get in the yard and start playing. All of a sudden, I'd start coughing. I couldn't stop, and I'd run hard. I'd call my mom, mother, 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 mother. And I'd take a can of bread. She'd grab hold, and I couldn't hardly breathe. And I'd sit down and wrestle around so I'd feel better. And I'd go back to the yard again. And a few minutes later, I'd do it again. And 4 times, I ran to her. I didn't have run to my dad. I ran to her. You know why? My dad was probably good. He would have done what most men do. Well, you know, that's good. Come here. Pat me on the head a little bit. Sit down. Be quiet. You'll be okay. But my mother grabbed hold of me and just hold me up real close and say, "Son, that's all right, Charlie. That's all right." I often wonder, today we'd run to the hospital first thing or to the doctor. Now, back in those days, they didn't have money to go to the doctor. It didn't cost much. You'd probably see a doctor for $10. That's hard to believe, isn't it? By the way, in 1950, first hospitalization I got out, I paid $8 a month for a $10 room in the hospital. Boy, I wish I had those days back again. Amen. And I run the last time. I said, "Mother, I don't know why. I'm ever just like it was yesterday." And we're talking about, 70-something years ago. "Mother, every time I run to you, I seem to get better." That's what God's talking about, a mother's love. A mother knows how to love that a dad doesn't know how to love. Doesn't mean we don't love them just as well, but we need both in a family so the family can have what's needed on both sides to face that world. And here we have 3 mothers that helps us understand that God said, as a mother comforts her son, I promise to comfort you. I told you this, feel this, that to those who feel helpless and rejected and despised and grow weary at times, thank God for his nature seen through the love of a mother. Jochebed, for instance, reveals how a mother's love will never give up, always, always looking for a right way to deliver her children, but never compromise from the do wrong. And I see Mary. Mary pictures a mother who will remain true to her children when others may reject and turn away from them. But she always yielded to that which was right. And I see Rippa shows a mother who loves her children so much that she gives her life for them even after they died. And I say again, wow, thank God for a mother's love. That is to show us towards his, that he shows towards his people. And folks, we have that today. Sometimes people say, oh, you know, preacher, don't anybody love me. I want you to know God loves you as a dad, God loves you as a mother, and God loves you as a God. In fact, God is the answer of love. You can't define it in his way because God is love. I expect it to that. If I need a mother's love as a human being, I'm sure he's prepared that for me. If I need a dad as a dad's love for a human being, he's prepared that for me. And both of these are seen in God. Why? He made us that way. And therefore, it's necessary for us to feel that type of love. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. That's the reason I know it all my heart. He says to Israel, as a mother comforts her son, I promise to comfort you. How can I claim? Why can I claim that? Because God said in Hebrews again, chapter 13, verse 5, I will never, if you know him as Savior, I'm not talking about someone playing, have you heard me about that? If I said 1,000 times, it took a birth to get in this life, in the physical world. It takes a birth to get into the family of God, a spiritual world. And if you're in the family, then you can mark it down. God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That means every time I need a mother's love, from his standpoint in life, he'll give it to me, either through my mother or by himself showing me that love, or a dad. Now, I wonder why he said this here, because, ladies and gentlemen, none of these mothers in here could do for Israel when he's talking. They wouldn't be alive when the peace come to Israel. You know that? Because that would have been many. This would have been at least, almost 2,000 years ago. And when you see in John, and when you look over in Isaiah, you're talking about in Isaiah, you're talking about 2,700 years ago. And so when that peace, he's talking about Israel's coming for to have peace. By the way, Israel doesn't have full peace now. They have partial peace, but they're still fighting right now. Do you know that? But I'm saying to you, God said, I'll give it to you because I'm going to give you. Let you understand, as a mother comforts her sons, I promise to comfort you. I don't care where you're at, what you're involved in, don't ever change your standard because of situations. Be humble, though submitted to God in that situation. And when you do, God said, whatever you face, in this case, I'll be like a mother to you. In another case, I'll be like a father to you. We're covered on both sides. If you're here and this morning you're not saved, you need the Savior. Because this has nothing to do with anyone outside the family of God. These are promises to Israel, the nation, and to us, Jew and Gentile, in the age of grace, as children of God. Oh, what manner of love that God has bestowed upon us that we can be called children of God. Stand to your feet, please. Father in heaven, I thank you again for the day. And I thank you for this day for our mothers that are here, Lord. I thank you for the blessings of life. And Lord, there's so many things we'll face now that this world is so confused about who you are. They have all kinds of definitions. I just heard some people talking last week talking about that God is a she. Lord, it seems like that man is looking for anything to destroy who the true and living God is. And we live in an age today, quickly by the media that we have and computers and so forth, that you can find hundreds that agree with you on anything you believe today. And it seemed to make some people feel that things are okay. Because God is such a God to them that no matter how they live or what they do, it doesn't make a difference. God's going to still show love to them in the end, and they're going to end up being in heaven just like anybody else one day on the street of gold. They're going to be surprised, Lord. Because that's true. We're going to have to cut out a lot of scripture like 1 Corinthians 3. We're going to cut out Luke when Jesus talked about hell. You'd have to cut out when God says they're standing in the great white throne judgment in the book of Revelation of those whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life. And I know today we have a harder time getting the gospel to people than Paul had in his day. Paul, when he went to Athens, no one listened. They mocked him, called him a blabbermouth. Lord, nowadays the whole world like Athens. When we go anywhere, we go just about. We'll find some good people, but we'll find some people who deny you. And when they deny you, you begin to say anything about the Lord. They run quickly somehow to defeat you through the government. And we pray today, give us wisdom to know how to handle things and realize that matter where we're at. And dear Father, someone's hurting today. Please, please, God, someone who's hurting today. Please let them see that you're there. May they never change the standard if it's biblical. But let them see that you're there. And let them see that whatever takes place, God has a mother's love on one side that we need as a human being. And he said, I'll be that to you. And he has a father's love on the other side that we also need. And God, when he put Adam and Eve together, male and female, he gave them the characteristics that's needed to mold the person in his image like he wants them molded through the scriptures and through his ways. By saying, I'll be this to you. And I believe that when he said that about being a mother to us, is just as sure as he said, I never leave you forsake it. God, don't tell us words and change it. He means what he says, and he says what he means. And we can claim those promises. And sometimes the valley looks deep and the hills look high. And Father, we know this, though, that you're just as much God in the valley as you're on the mountainside. And I pray today someone would be blessed and helped and look to you and through eyes of tears, maybe where in turn they feel the pressure of life. They know that God's there to undergird them. Please say that, souls near as hell. Honor your word. You said you'd give it above everything. I pray you'd honor your word. Not only who Jesus is to make us understand what we can do by becoming a child of God, but also what God can do for us as a child of God to help us in these last days. And we're going to thank you and praise you for it. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.